Hey, Jackie. Raise his name. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. You must realize the importance of you understanding school and the prospect of this school. And so I want to start off by warning you that this literature, these lessons are being passed through an apostolic grace. Now, there's something about that. If you studied any about the Apostle Paul, you recognize that this grace that comes with a calling go beyond the book. And so it's presented to your spirit at a different facet. Yes, you can read the book and make an outline. But let's look at a few of these grace scriptures to get your Bible and let's look at them. And you can sit down. A few of these grace scriptures too. And I'm going to try to call them out by, you know, because I thought I wrote them down for. But in Ephesians, one of them is in our text tonight, but I won't. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. And there's another one in Ephesians I want to look at that will help us. Because the ministry is based on the grace of God. In other words, it's a grace. It's when you recognize that, you can turn your infirmities in. But you got to recognize that if you're not going to turn your infirmity in, then you're going to be fumbling out there trying to do some things, class, that only the Spirit of God can do. You understand? You know what I'm tired of? Repeat. Same old stuff. Watch television. I'm guys preaching the same message over and over, one behind another one. I know we have to preach Christ. I don't have no problem with that. But my eyes have been opened so wide to see the spectrum of God and how infinitum God is and how massive he is. And I think about all the years, and I'm sort of a spiritual, I hustle. I want to know more. But all these years, it's so much you couldn't get to by being blocked with so much of the same thing. And I'm not knocking anybody, you understand? But I want you to know here, you in an acceleration. These classes that you're taking are not normal classes. There's a lot of power. A lot of ministry we were not able to enter into because we didn't have the provisional revelations to do it. And I'm trying to talk to you because I don't want you to sit here in these classes and just say you're going to school. And I recognize you're going to school, but there's a whole lot going on. And I want to make sure that you partake of what's going on. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Go to Ephesians first. Ephesians 2. We got one text we're going to read in our text, but I'll read it now. In Ephesians 2:20, because we're going to talk somewhat about in our lesson where we take up about keeping heaven open and knowing how to keep heaven open, knowing how to build in the Spirit, and knowing how to be a habitation of the Spirit of God. Those three things are very important, and it's not no Sunday school work, you see. You know how to keep heaven open. Wow. You know, and there's ways to keep heaven open. One of the ways to keep heaven open is to rely on God's grace.
Yes, sir.
And recognize how much you need him and humble yourself. Be in a humble and a meek position. That'll keep heaven open. But anyway, here in Ephesians 2:20, now this verse could not make a whole lot of spiritual sense to us. And I'll tell you why. We didn't know who an apostle and a prophet was. to a large degree. See, we thought a prophet, somebody just prophesied, but prophetical insight is one of the most powerful things in the spirit world. And then the apostle anointing is a billing anointing. It knows how to collect material from the spirit world and put it in somebody's life that they can have the proper foundation, yes, yet be a master builder. Building now in the spirit. Not in no organization, not in no denomination. Building in the spirit with the spiritual material of the word. Are you following me? It'll make your ministry peak out on you. In other words, you're trying to keep up with it because God has shown you so much and shown you so much revelation that you almost peak out. All right, all right. And then you stop trying to peep out, trying to find something, to say. So that 20th verse says, and there's three names here. They named the apostle and the prophet with Jesus. But you see, he the chief cornerstone. And I built upon Ephesians 2:20, and we're going to read another two other scriptures in the third chapter. I just thought to read these. This is not our lesson, but I want to pass this by you because I don't want you to belittle or not notice grace. The church went without it so long, and it's not a matter of bragging on a man or a woman. It's just the Lord, how the Lord set this thing up. And I built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost put that apostle and prophet as a foundation there with Jesus. I mean, men who don't know no better, they auger that thing down, man. They say, oh, man, it didn't mean that. Yeah, it meant that. It meant what it said. And then you got in verse, the third chapter, in the sixth verse, the seventh verse, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift, you see, to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, whom in less than the least of all sent is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, I believe it is, it's another scripture that you need to make note of in your life, in your ministry, that it could be a blessing to you. The apostle revealing his apostleship, and he lays some groundwork here in the 9th and 10th verse. He said, for 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Well, I'm right along there with him because I persecuted the church too, the life I lived, the first 27 years of my life. But he said, not but by the grace of God I am what I am. Good God Almighty. You know what that means? I am what I am. And he said, his grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. But I don't just sit around because I got grace, but I labor. Grace caused you to labor more abundantly than they all. Boy, that Paul, he's something, you know. He over there in Corinthians 14, he said, I pray in tongue more than you all. Now he say he labor. I mean, he must have upset preachers. He said, Paul, but it seemed like he was right because he wrote over half of the New Testament. He got God's attention. But he just dawned on me. Paul said, I labor more than you all. Now I almost won't tell y'all that. It just don't come. It just don't come to be coming. You have to want it. And there is some labor in the ministry. There's still some sweat in the ministry, you understand? But he said, I love it. I love what he said here. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Now watch what he said. Yeah, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I love it. I love it. Now, the reason I said this, studying this governing territorial church, I've been in ministry for 37 years. This is new to me. See? Governing territorial church. In other words, taking a territory over for the Lord. And if the Lord won't come in that territory, it come through that church. Now, it don't have to be one church. It could be a bunch of churches if they all get on the same line. And the governing factor is so important. We start studying this. I want to remind you, we're talking about development of the governing church, but a ministry cannot be what it should be unless it understands how spiritual government works.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual government. How spiritual government really works. Recognizing that it's the highest type of government.
Yes, sir.
You see. Now the Holy Ghost will enforce the government of the Spirit. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
See, the Holy Spirit will execute the government of the Spirit if you know how to yield to Him. And so we have to learn church government. We have to learn how to function and how to yield to developing a. And we talked about, started talking about seven things. I went through three of them. I'm going to the fourth one, that characteristic of a governing church. I think these seven characteristics are very in depth themselves. And the first one was rising in the spirit to dislodge the power of hell. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew 16, the gates of hell should not prevail against us. That means it couldn't stop you. And you know, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion. Luke 10:19, I do in the power of the enemy, do you no harm?
Yes, sir.
You have to know your authority here. I said, if you're gonna minister to people, you're gonna have to know your authority. You can't be a weakling.
No, sir.
Depending on some kind of formula or some method you saw somebody else knew you. You make yourself available, as I've been speaking these last few months, for fresh acts of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
whatever way He wants to do it.
Yes,
most of the time, I don't know exactly what He's going to do. I don't care. I just want to do what He wants me to do. I know if I yield to Him, it's going to be better.
Right.
Fresh.
Yes, sir.
Fresh. And see, and then we're talking about repositioning herself, the church, to be a government. You got to dislodge the power of hell. Then it got to reposition herself to become the stronger man. You know, church, we're supposed to be the church. We're supposed to be the stronger man. Matter of fact, Satan's supposed to respect us. See? But you're going to have to be functioning right. You got to be connected right. You're going to have the proper covering. I can't hear y'all. You see? And then he talks about exercising territorial control over the region. Now, I like the one we're going into tonight. I looked at it and meditated today. The fourth one, take responsibility to keep the spiritual climate conducive. Keep the spiritual climate conducive. Now, you know, there's a law in studying. When you make a statement like this, there always is a contrast. There's always a contrast. You understand what I'm saying? See, when you think about that, now think about that. When you study the scripture, when you study the word of God, always remember when a positive statement is made, there always is a contrast. When a negative statement is made, there's always a contrast. Always look at the contrast, because a lot of climates are not conducive for the Holy Ghost to do what He wants to do. In this school, I want to raise up both men and women functioning under anointing and under grace that know how to build a climate.
Yes, sir.
Now, you watch me build climates every time I come here.
Yes.
You see? Because my man forte when I get up here is not my notes.
Yes.
It's not my ideas. My man forte is yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Whatever way he the wind blow, I'm going with him because I know it's going to be more effective and more of a blessing to you. Can you see me, or you're still looking for me?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, so taking responsibility. So in any given situation, I'll use this for example. Each one of these ministers who instructors, they are responsible for the climate in their class. Whether it's what they did before they came here. See, if the leader not in the right climate or the right temperature, the whole meeting go to hay.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So you if You can't take the responsibility for something if you don't know how to do it. See, governing churches is supposed to be respected and supposed to be directed in what's going on. And so in Matthew 16, 18, very powerful story, but you look at it, what Jesus talked about how he's going on revelation knowledge, he said he's going to build his church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Now let's go contrast again. If the church don't have no revelation, the gate of hell going to prevail against it. And you know, by not knowing this government, the gates of hell been prevailing against the church, holding people back, even though they were good people, but they never, the acceleration never come and the freedom never come like they should have it. Huh?
Yes, sir.
And so the church can't function without revelation. That's why the apostle fell on his knees in the third chapter of Ephesians. And then he prayed in the first chapter. I was telling him about the beloved and how blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and of all the blessing God have on us according to God's grace. Then he prayed about it, I hope, so they can catch on. They need a spirit of revelation and understand the grasp what the Spirit is saying to the church or what the Spirit is saying to the believer or what the Spirit is saying to you as an individual. We have to know what the Spirit is saying. We can't get the mess around sermonizing with sermons and outlines and you know all these other stuff and don't know what the Spirit is saying. So you have to spend time in the presence of God. You're not going to have no climate without the presence. You know, you can sing the presence of the Lord is, yeah. But you can feel him in the very atmosphere. If nobody ain't prayed and got ready, you're just singing it because he's sure not here and not in that facet. Yeah, by mercy. So the gifts of the Spirit, the miracles, come on, the signs, and the wonders, and the manifestation, and the demonstration that a governing church can bring forth will not manifest unless somebody know how to get the Spirit to climb the street. Now, most choir kill the Spirit. Because they're up there performing. Now, their jobs will be as building right for the preacher when the man of God comes. Everything in a church service should center around the Word. Not around on people. Not, you know, my people get to looking at somebody too much, I just jerk them off the scene. Goodbye. Because now they come and look for a song. I've been there before. I've been a Baptist, you know. And they come looking for a song. You know, and sometimes y'all mess a portion, give up. Just got to look to the portion, you know. They got something for me. What do you mean they got something for you? The Lord got something for you. So, and then we had these two scriptures, they got the 18th verse. So, the first point we need to talk about is she's responsible, the church is responsible, because you're not going to have no climate unless you keep the heavens open. In that redeemed area. I like that. See, you got the heaven open, and you're recognizing that where you function at, good God Almighty, where you function at, you recognize it's a redeemed area. See? See, right there, that ward off Satan right there. You know too much. You blood conscious.
Yes.
See, you blood bought conscious. See, you blood conscious and you standing up there with a blood consciousness and the area become redeemed.
Yes.
And then the Spirit of God can move like he want to move in that person's life, even in his very room tonight, even in his very room. You in class, but the Lord going to address some things you need to address.
Yes.
Because you're in a redeemed area. So bondage can't stay. See. But you're responsible to keep the heaven open. Now Jesus kept the heaven open because he stayed close to the Father. He said, I don't do nothing but what I see my Father do. I don't say nothing but what I hear my Father say. See, that's one of the secrets of keeping the heaven open. See, yeah. See, the heaven open because Jesus acknowledged that he can't do nothing without the heaven being open. And men sometimes preaching on a closed heaven. Whoa. Closed heaven, you see. And that's why our people have not seen days of heaven on earth. Days of heaven on earth come through revelation and anointing on the open heaven. Now, I tell you, you can't beat praying in the Holy Spirit. You can't beat praying them prayers that Paul had got in Ephesians in the first chapter. And, you know, get on your knees and pray those prayers. And you'll begin to get enlightenment and your candle will get brighter. Now, not only are we responsible here in a territorial, governing territorial church, because if you don't have the heaven open, you ain't got no backup.
Yes, sir.
Before I leave that. And then, not much talk had been done about this. I want to hit it two or three ways. She has learned, talking about the church, learned to become a builder in the spirit world. A builder in the spirit world. A builder in the spirit world. Now, I talk about building in the spirit. I also talk about birthing in the spirit. Healing in such a way that God come down through you and do something out of the ordinary. I feel the presence right now. God want ministers to know how to build in the spirit, how not to depend on the flesh, not to depend on your gifting. Not they never depend on your ability. You're not going to govern on your ability because you ain't got no ability. So there's three things in this statement. She have learned to become a builder in the spirit, creating a holy habitation for God in the spirit realm over that region. So you keep the heaven open, be a builder in the spirit world, and then become a habitation. And that's in the Ephesians 2, we read there. That next verse said that the church should be a habitation for God in the spirit. Then it goes on to say, not measured by numerical figures. Well, I read that today again for I don't know how many times. I read that. I thought I went straight to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 7. You read that sometime. When that boy Gideon was called and felt his insufficiency and trying to decline. But God said, you're the very one I want.
Right.
Somebody know they can't do it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Somebody who knows they can't do it. See, that's one of my greatest strengths. No, I can't do it. That's one of my greatest strengths. I preach. That's one of my greatest strengths. I walk around, nah, Lord, I can't do this.
Yes.
And the Lord said, what you said? That's it. Say, stay humble. Stay small in your own eyes. See, you must decrease and he must increase. You yield to him right there. So you talk about not measured by numerical figures. Now, it doesn't say you shouldn't grow numerically, but you shouldn't put more emphasis on numbers than power. I can't hear y'all. You see, some of these guys, your church is not as big as other churches, and you sit back there and drag. Don't drag. Praise God. Be thankful for who you have. Feed them. You know, Gideon, he had a man, you know, God, you're a minister, you get upset. You had that many members quit church in one day. I mean, you packing, what, a 32,000 church? Man, you're going strong, and all of a sudden, now watch what happened now. Three class of people, the Lord showed me this some years ago. Three class of people there. Number one, he sent the careless one back. I think it was the careless one. I think they sent the coward back first. He asked, anybody want to go back? Man, 1,000 of them left. 22,000 left. They scared. Sending the coward back. And then he tried them by the water. Said the one that lapped like a dog. See, a dog lapping, but he always looking around. And boy, put the head down and never look up, just drinking. They're careless. They'll get you killed. But the 300 passed the test because they were committed. Now, what it's saying does, God said, I know that from personal experience. God said, I can do it. I can do it with a few. Matter of fact, he told me he got too many. But he, you know, actually he was saying it was too many trifling people. So every now and then somebody, God gonna flush your church. Let them go, please. Some I call, some I don't. Some I call the Lord and thank him that they're gone. I'm just here to rule. So this numerical figure here, there are three things he said in the letter. And it arrived back to what we're talking about responsibility, but by their spiritual position. What is your spiritual position tonight? What's your spiritual position? I may ask how much time you spend with God. I may ask in the last 3 months how many people you got saved. I witnessed them anyway. What's on your account the last 3 months spiritually? See? You follow me? See? Your spiritual position has something to do with it. It's not measured by a numerical number, because I say this all the time. I need to say it to be an example to the body of Christ. I'd put this church up against any church in the universe. Yes, these people, I've been feeding them, the one feeding them, the one and showing them how to be led by the Spirit, and showing them how to use the sword.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And showing them the difference between moral and immoral.
Yes,
you see, we're not perfect, but I've trained them how to live a decent life.
Yes,
and it don't take, what are we doing? Look what we're doing. Look what we're doing. I'm all over the world. You know, so it's just by what your spiritual position is. And then let's not forget this, that you must function in supernatural strength.
Yeah.
Now, supernatural strength, you can think about the anointing. The anointing actually is supernatural strength.
Yes, sir.
I pray to God that there's an impartation to each one of you all in these classes, that you get that impartation of anointing. Woo! That you can function in supernatural strength. Say it, supernatural strength. See. And then by that, your spiritual positioning and knowing about that supernatural strength, then you'll have power invested in you. Power invested in you. Now God says, I can trust because you got a spiritual position. You know how he give him the glory and the praise. And so he, you know, some of y'all might not make it. I just want to shake you up. Because you're going to have to grasp this. You're going to have to want this. You're going to have to pray before you come to class. So you can be open. So you can hear what the Spirit said. You are not to look to us, per se. But you have to look through us. Hallelujah. And then number six is you're a carrier of a clear gospel of the kingdom message.
Yes,
carrier. I recognize I'm a carrier.
Yes,
see, packing something.
Yes, sir.
I ought to say here in the first, which create a stirring in the hearts of those who believe.
Wow.
When you're a carrier, you're stirring. You notice how you be in my class? You're tight and tense all the time. If you got any sense.
Yes, sir.
I'm just talking about the Spirit, you see.
Yes,
I'm bragging on the Holy Ghost. But you're in my class, and when I'm preaching, I see on people's face. They're serious. Don't mess with me. They're serious.
Yes, sir.
Look what? Any minute, any moment, somewhat out of the ordinary can happen.
Yes.
Because people... heart gets stirred up when they get around. Not one just with the letter, but the Spirit has to be there.
Yes, sir.
If the Holy Ghost don't breathe, you can shut the shop down.
Yes.
But what's created a stirred in the heart of those who believe, raising them to become men and women of great caliber and deep conviction.
Yes, sir.
Great caliber. You know, the caliber of a gun determines how powerful it is.
Yes, sir.
And of great conviction. You've got to have conviction, and conviction come because you become a convict to the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm locked up because I want to be locked up. I can't, watch it. I can't get over this. I can't get over Jesus. I can't get over the Holy Spirit. I can't get over this book. Every time I pick it up, it says something else. I can't get over the anointing. I've seen the anointing many times, but I just, it's always fresh, it's new. I say, wow. Conviction, man. You got to have conviction. You got to spend time with God for that. You got to spend time with the Holy Ghost. That'd be a different caliber. You better not leave you as a regular preacher. And don't make no marks. Even a slick tie can make a mark on the road if you mash it wide enough or hard enough. So all this information, y'all make some kind of mark, man. Raising them to become men and women of great caliber. Then 2 Timothy 1:6, look at it. 2 Timothy 1:6, the Apostle Paul talks about it. So, see, Paul said, stir up the gift that is in you. 2 Timothy 1:6, I believe it is. Stir it up. See, stir it up. Stir your heart up. Stir you up. Stir up the gift. But our job is to be in a position that when we stand to minister, we ought to stir up the gift in other people. Stir up their conviction. Glory to God. Yeah. I mean, yes, make them excited about what God is doing in their life. Yes, no, I came through the school of whipping people down. We'd send you to hell every time we get in the pulpit. We'll dig your sin up and bring them back before you. Know what you did. You didn't know no better. You go to a person, family member died. My son-in-law father just went on to be the Lord. He was a preacher of the gospel. And I had a few moments to be in his presence, and I recognized he was a certain caliber of man from the old school, but I recognized he knew God. But then people go to the funeral, and then these preachers who haven't preached so long, and then they get up there and start whooping the people, talking about who going to hell. I've been there. Nobody want to hear that. That loved one dead. You ain't got no word from God to give us some comfort. You trying to hold a meeting up in here? I'm just hint. We got hints. Because, you know, y'all may get a chance to say a word of comfort. Let it be what it says. Some of it be a word of killing the whole service. That's why in funeral service, I don't let nobody too much say nothing. They be calling me to my cousin so-and-so. I said, I don't know cousin. He never been here. And some of them get a little hot, you know. I tell Barbara, tell him, I said, this all being on the program. I want this person to read the scripture. And then every now and then I let somebody else say something. But I'm a guard of this pulpit. I don't want nobody to get up here doing no crazy stuff. If I don't know you. Now if I know you, it's another horse. I can put up with a little tradition and a little religion. Because I know I've been there, you see what I'm saying? And they're dead, they don't know what you're saying no way. So you ain't got to go sit down somewhere. Cause let's try to talk to these live people. All right, hallelujah. Now, he says here, these men, now remember we're talking about carriers of a clear gospel, and I can't go fast through this, of the kingdom message. What is the kingdom message? Huh? Jesus died and rose again and ascended, sent the Holy Spirit back to for us to know what he would do at any given time. Yes, sir. What is the kingdom message? What God's way of doing things? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is not word only, but power. What kingdom message? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, power. See, Jesus, talk about Jesus. Jesus kept going to one city. He's preaching the kingdom. Preaching the kingdom. Then Jesus, you know, met with the disciples, and it was just arguing about everything. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. My. Every believer, every one of you all are believers in this room tonight. And on the internet, the students on the internet, the kingdom of God is within you. So to preach the kingdom of God, you got to recognize you are a carrier of the kingdom of God. You're preaching who you are. These men. men of deep conviction, notice that, and passion. Conviction and passion. You need both. You need conviction, but you need passion. You need Jesus. If you read behind Jesus in the gospel, when I was reading the gospel over and over, the synoptic gospel, Matthew, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you were saying Jesus had compassion on them. He was correcting them in compassion. I told a story about it. I went to a church and I was preaching pretty hard, but I wasn't getting through. When I laid down in the bed that night, the Lord said, you ain't had enough passion. I started getting myself straight quick, you know, because I was trying to teach them about finances some years back, and they wasn't getting it. And I went at them, boy. You know, I went to every scripture I knew, trying to wrap them around, you know, and let them know. But they didn't get it. They just said that. And so I got in the room, and I went to praying. I said, now, Lord, something ain't working. What is it? He said, you. Go back tonight with my compassion and watch what happened. So I prayed about compassion for about 40 minutes and went back and had a landslide. See, conviction and passion, you must have both of them. See, I told you about contrast. Now, you can't compromise. Good God Almighty. See, you can't compromise to make spiritual things right. Why? Because you commission with the truth. Write that down. You can't compromise to make things right. Why? Because you're commissioned with the truth, which is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, if I had time, me and Junior talk about it. People talk about unconditional love and all this. They just want you to be a weakling. But love is tough. You got to come up and meet the standard. I tell you what, if you don't be love tough, just read 1 Corinthians 13 about 6 times. You might find out you've lost your clout. Because, I mean, love, sweep them gifts out the room. Sweep your money out the room. Sweep your eloquent voice out the room. And say, none of y'all working without me. That's what it said. See, that's why Jesus was so powerful. He was operating in love. So, these men of deep conviction and passion impart into the lives of others what they are and have in their spirit. Oh, Jesus. Now, see, that's very important when you go to church. See, now I got to talk about this now because I got to deal with this now because don't tell me Pastor All Care, you know he's a hoe. You said now that you're getting some of that hoe in you. See, whoever you hang with, that's what you're going to become. See? And you make your mind up. You see, you can't make up your mind. If he who you follow and not studying and don't have no revelation and you still sitting there, you're going to get just what he got. Nothing. I see these people, you know, they talk about forgiveness. All right, I believe in forgiveness. But then this man go do it again. Yeah. And he just forgive him. No. Sometimes you got to forget something here now. Because this is my family here.
Right.
I was a man. I wouldn't bring my wife to a whorish church.
Right. Right.
Bunch of whorish deacon. Yeah. You can't trust the pastor. You can't take your little nap sometimes. You got to keep all your eyes open. You got to watch your wife, man. Your children and your daughters and everything. You even got to watch your son now. I like this statement. These men of deep conviction, that's what you had. Now, actually, we land down in the book of Acts.
Yes, sir.
We in the bushes, peep out, seeing how they had so much power and why the people was following them so closely.
Yes.
See, when you talk about a governing church, you're going over to the book of Acts where it all started at.
Yes, sir.
Them boys had power. These men of deep conviction and passion impart into the lives of others what they are. And have in their spirit. Seven gold, he said. Have I none? That doesn't mean he wasn't broke, but that's what you need. I got something greater for you. You need something else. See? He imparted that power. In the name. The name belonged to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. God honored that. What happened to him? He rose up and what? And leap. And praise God. See? Deep conviction. What do you have? You see, you got to know what you have. You got to spend time with it.
Yes, sir.
Wow. The name. You got to spend time with the name. You got to spend time with the blood.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You got to spend time with the word.
Yeah.
You got to spend time with it. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
You got to spend time with Jesus.
Yes,
you got to spend time with the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
oh, Jesus.
Yes.
You got to spend time. You got to talk to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. You my helper.
Yes, sir.
Conviction come.
Yes, sir.
Compassion come.
Yes, sir.
You become convinced.
Yes.
I can't be stopped.
Yes.
Woo! What they have in their spirit. See, they're able to convey or impart what they have in their spirit. Opposite. They don't have nothing in their spirit. They're going to convey, impart flesh. They're going to impart feeling. They're going to impart emotion. They're going to impart excitement. And none of your problems going to be solved. You go back home plagued with the same problem. Because the solution never came out of that man or woman's mouth. Then 30 says, through meaningful covenant relationship. Now, 15th chapter of Genesis, you need to read that because you're going to see covenant cut there. Covenant is stronger than a contract. A contract is based on condition. Covenant is based on promises. Covenant is a divine agreement, a divine vow made between two. I was ministering to my son and his bride-to-be today. I was listening to Creflo teaching something on covenant. Now, he's a good covenant teacher because his dad is a covenant teacher. Kenny Copeland is a covenant teacher. He's been teaching covenant for many years. And the contract, how people cut covenant. And that connection you have when you're in covenant, you see. When you're in covenant with a person, you got connection with that person. What that person has really belongs to you. You know what? And they want to give it to you. So through meaningful covenant relationship, number one, they will raise up a series or succession of sons and daughters. Territorial church. Number two, who will pursue the great prophetic vision and call of their forefathers. So covenant is based on promises, a pledge, a vow, an agreement in blood. A blood sworn agreement. Now, you know, they kill animals to cut covenant in the Old Testament. We have one that ratified our covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do have a blood covenant. It's better than the Old Testament because ours is permanent. It's done. It's sealed. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, when I heard this, it's also, and people don't understand. I don't want to get to teaching all this right now because it's sure hot in my spirit. But the purpose of a covenant is to eliminate weaknesses.
Right.
Now, the Lord tell me to tell you something here. No matter where you go, how many people you lead, you got to stay and be a student. Because
yes,
the people you're leading going to say something you need to hear.
Yes, sir.
Oh, see, you get all high and mighty and you don't listen to nobody else.
Yeah.
No. Eliminate your weak covenant. The purpose of covenant is to eliminate weaknesses.
Yeah.
You say, that's why you don't marry somebody just like you.
Right.
They got nothing to offer you. Well, reform the nature of society. Number 7. That is Texas John 14, 8 through 18. Let me look at that a moment. I say we're not going to get far tonight. You know, but it's concentrated. You see what I'm saying? See, it's not how much you cover. You know, it's how much you get in you. And the further I go in the spirit realm, and the closer I seem to be getting to God, I know sometimes how to settle down in the spirit. Yeah, boy, we need to see this. Then the eighth voice, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It's sufficient to us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, with you, and you have not, thou have not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe it not that I mean the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I mean the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." And he goes on down to verse 18. Down past to verse 17, even the spirit of truth. Then he said, "I will not leave you comfortless." Now, the reform. Now, we're talking about governmental, territorial, church. Reform the nature of society. The governing church become God's battle axe to reform the very nature and foundation of that society she live in. Oh, my goodness. If them people who live in the suburbs fishing across the street would really know. Yeah, they know what was going on here like she know. And like some of these kids know. If they really know. But you see, religious biscuit have jammed their spiritual system. And then they don't even realize it. They just don't live their whole life right across the street from the power. You know, probably from your church too. You got somebody right nearby your church. Don't come. You think you're a regular minister. The members are moving from being saints to becoming sons. From being saints to becoming sons. I mean, Captain Galatians chapter 4, your sonship. Captain Romans 8:14, your sonship. What sonship? As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, knowing how to be, knowing how to be led by the Spirit, that you won't forfeit your sonship. What is rightfully yours, you'll have it, and then you'll stop the thief from stealing from you. You see? You take back what the devil stole from you. I took a lot of stuff back. He was just stealing from me. I was reading the Bible, and he was still stealing. Yes, sir. Yeah, I got some coming in here. Yes, the members are moving from being sent to becoming sons. See, sonship, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons are being brought up to partake, oh my God, in their inheritance and not just their blessing. Woo! Yeah. Come on. Woo! Yeah. See, many stop at the blessing. Yeah. No, you got a whole inheritance. Yeah. That boy didn't understand in Luke chapter 15, that older son. Yeah. You know, he was living in the blessing. But the father said, hey, boy, come here. You worry about that little part I throw for your brother? He said, all that I have is done. And that's what the Father's saying. See, your inheritance is everything that the Father has. Your blessing is the few things you get out the box and leave it like you can't get no more. Then people have a tendency, when you're living in your inheritance, church folk get upset. Man told me I got my Rolls Royce over by the shop in Texas. You know, everybody don't work on them in Baton Rouge. And so I put in the truck. It cost $2,000 to take it there. Yeah, wow. You don't send no Rolls Royce on an outside truck, birds pooing on it, all kind of stuff. You got to put that car on the inside. Yeah. And so I told him, tell the man it's riding a little rough. He said, they said they're going to check it. They check it. Yes. Two shocks. Yeah. Uh-huh. $5,400. Yeah. You would really be shocked, wouldn't you? I just say these things to kind of get you on the cutting edge. You can live in your inheritance. You don't have just to live in a blessing.
Right.
You know, you almost say, Lord, bless me. That's enough.
Yeah.
Lord says, stupid. Don't stop me.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Let me run your cup over. You got a cup full. My wife often tell this. I heard her told it the last two or three months about Leroy Jr. when he was small. Well, about 2 or 3 years ago. And she had some Kool-Aid. And he had his glass. And she was pouring, and he got about a little quarter, about 8 and 8, pulled a glass back. The Kool-Aid went on the floor. He tried to drink a little bit. She going to fill a glass up for him. But you know, he's a child. He don't know better. He think, if I don't drink it now, it's not going to be here. See something? And so he poured it on the floor. And she laughs at that all the time. And we like that sometimes. We get a little blessed and think that's enough. No, I have a right. This is my inheritance. Jesus died for this. See, so you don't want to just take people to their blessing. You want to learn them how to walk in their inheritance. You see the difference? Almost any Christian get a blessing, but very few walk in their inheritance. When I say something like that, I want you to think about process properly. I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to use it though. Program properly. The right download.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you see, write down, make a note, and look the difference up between inheritance and blessing. Now, let's for a few minutes come to the point considering how we build. And he said 3 things on that. Trial and error, spiritual intuition and instinct, wisdom, design, and strategy. Trial and error. I know about that. Spiritual intuition and instinct, wisdom, design, and strategy. Let's take the first one. Psalm 127 and 1. See what it says. Except the Lord build a house. Is that it? I think that's what it is. I haven't looked at it. Except the Lord build a house. They that labor, labor in vain. Except the Lord watch the city, you see.
Yes, sir.
Trial and error. And we're talking about building spiritually.
Yes.
Now, I think about 2 scriptures. I think about Jesus, what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18. We read that, but I build my church. Upon this rock, I build my church. Then I think about Jude 20, building yourself and your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
then I think about Matthew 7, the end of Matthew 7, they talk about the man who built on the rock, another one built on the sand.
Yes, sir.
See? So a lot of people build spiritually on the sand. So he says here, trial and error, that 127th Psalm, the first verse, we must not be haphazard in our building. We must build by following the Holy Spirit and his inspiration, who will live to suffer the trial that come because of our error. We will live to suffer the trial. I suffered through some of them because our error went going on without the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
trial and error. See, you build on God. Except the Lord build a house. Except you get revelation. Except you get information. Except you get some understanding from God in your ministry, you're not going to build nothing right. Because it's spiritual. Are you listening to me? Number 2, spiritual intuition and instinct. Now, I like this scripture. Turn to Proverbs 24. It really, and 3 and 4. It really tell you about building. Proverbs, one of my favorite. Yeah, it really tell you about building. See, it's 3 things to take to build. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. All 3 of them come from the Lord. Divine wisdom, divine understanding, divine knowledge. Supernatural wisdom, supernatural understanding, supernatural knowledge. I kind of like my teaching myself tonight. Hallelujah. You see, we need that. We need that. See, then it comes from the Holy Ghost. See, Holy Ghost. You see them voices? You need to know those voices if you're going to build a ministry. Ain't no Barbara listening, you know. Yeah, she ain't here. As we mature, we realize that it is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that builds God's house. and perspiration and work. And then the author said, then building will not be difficult or uncertain. Sometimes I feel jealous for other. I'm just floating along in my ministry. Just things just falling in place. And then, when I used to run with those guys, I don't run with them anymore, but we used to be some of the big boys. And we sat down and try to have a bite of sandwich, and here come the trouble. Phone jumping off the table. My phone didn't ring. I didn't have nothing to say. I mean, when you're complaining, I didn't have nothing to say, because God, like my yoke was easy. And even though I had things going on, but yet I had such a reliance on the Holy Ghost. And know that God says, I conform the word of my servant and perform the word of my messenger. So you find it in Isaiah 44. The last three or four verses in that chapter. See. And I heard him say, my yoke is easy. So I just believe in me. I got to switch out teachers. I got these other teachers. I got these other boys waiting. We're going to add on to the school. Then all I told them, read. We're going to add on to the school. We're going to build a school bigger. Yes, sir. We have a lot of apostolic insight have come, and a lot of apostolic strategies that we're going to use to reach pastors' membership. So the pastor won't have to struggle so hard trying to teach all this to them. We're going to set a way for them to get in school and let the pastor get his leaders in here by internet or by coming, whatever way we need to get them in there. So when the pastor go to building that church properly, he's not going to have no problem, because he got 14 men sitting there know exactly what he's doing. See, now, Leroy strategized with me a lot of times. The Lord speak to him about things too. Him and I go to talking, and the Lord, I remember the night the Lord told us, you're coming out of auditorium. Told me and him both at the same time. Coming out, I want you back in the church. That was the wrap. See, I had a confirmation right there in the car. All right. Wisdom, design, and strategy. We need to build by design and strategy as progressive revelation. Hear that. Is given. Breaking up old thought patterns. Religion. And culture. Whew. See now, a compromising preacher is not going to do this. And a money-minded preacher is not going to do this. Because you're going to have to cut some folks to do this. Yes, sir. Woman said, I'm just trying to preach, man. I was trying to preach. I might have been out of order a little bit, but I was talking about a dumb song. And the woman, she just come here. I was amazed she had joined this church. But she didn't last long. She said, that was mama song. Mama song wrong. Mama song putting off everything until you get to heaven. That's not right. I couldn't compromise with that. I just said, it's not my song. And if you worry about losing a tie or losing a member of a family, I've seen family go. I mean, a woman, I worked with her husband as much as I could. He was an alcoholic. I tried to stop him from drinking, cast out devils, call the alcohol demon out, and he still drank. And she got high with me. Well, I ain't got the demon. If you would have kept him here, you'd have got it. Now, she knew he was drinking before she married him. Other husband was complacent, just passive. No one want no passive husband. Just passive. Yeah. Oh, that's all right. Let's do that. Yeah. We got bubble gum for supper tonight. Yes. Crazy, man. Just yeah. The woman said, I just get tired of him. He need to say something. I need a challenge. Now, I want to reemphasize in my coming to a close, when we talk about wisdom, this is wisdom, design, and strategy. Yeah, every now and then you get in the car, you don't ask her where she want to go. Just take her to a nice place. Don't take her to McDonald's, but take her to a nice place. But sometimes a woman just wants you to make a decision. I think I'm going to have a marriage workshop. Wisdom. Design. I need to get your marriage workshop out on a boat somewhere where you can't come back. I'm ready to go, me. Go ahead on there. Go ahead. Wisdom, design, and strategy. Now, I want you to think apostolic long headline here. Apostolic from heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's really what it's talking about. Because now we have the government lined up properly, the apostle, the prophet on down the line. Are you following it?
Yes,
y'all still on, I believe some of y'all still don't know what I'm saying. y'all still stuck on Revion. No, you got to see this. You got to understand this because it was designed to change your life. You shouldn't leave here ordinary. Guessing. You should know when you leave here that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and that you're going to be okay. No matter how it look. All right, you should know that. You should know that. That's my aim for you anyway. But it says here now, we need to build by design and strategy. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. Send it through his government. As progressive revelation is given. I'm going over that again. Breaking. Everybody talking about a breakthrough. We need to break something up. Breaking up old thought patterns. Ooh, I had so many I had to break up. Oh, Lord Jesus. It took, you know, it's like working in a coal mine. Trying to get your mind off them regular things. You know what I'm talking about? Regular things, it goes this way. We jump on these patterns that is not doing nothing. Religion and culture. Now it says at the end of this statement, God will reveal his plan how to build. And I often tell them, man, I just followed God in all this stuff. I was walking in here praying today for about 40, 45 minutes. Walking across here, just saying, man, then sometimes I'm in the balcony just walking praying. Man, you know, God just do things if you let him. Are you following me? You have a happy, prosperous, fruitful, blessed life before you. I don't care what you're dealing with. You got to know that. You have to know that. You have to know that it's going to change. You have to know. You're not just going to make it. You're going to take it. You have to know that. You have to know you got the power. Tell the point next to you got the power. Yeah, you. I ain't told you say I got the power until you tell them they got the power. I got the power. Yeah, you got it. I know, but you do what I tell you to do. Hallelujah. Now, let me name these essential principles in building. I love this book. I love this work. Leadership must build according to the present day divine pattern. According to the present day divine pattern. We're going to talk about that in the future. Leadership must build with the future in view. See, I sent a letter in today. I'm coming off television. Ain't no future in television. Television dying. I'm going to the internet. Some of the other things. What the other thing named Montreal? Twitter and what else? I went on Instagram today. In Instagram I went on today, right? In about 5 minutes, I had 50 followers. I don't know how many I got tonight. This technology is something, boy.
Yes, sir.
And see, the television ministry, boy, it costs a lot of money to be on television, and you could be putting that money somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? 210. I just put it on there this afternoon. So leadership must build with the future in view. Leadership, number three, leadership must be spiritually positioned to build. Number four, leadership must gather the necessary resources to build. I like number five because it's bringing us to the nitty-gritty. Leadership must develop apostolic wisdom to manage and organize what has been built. See, that's where we've been missing that. That's where we've been falling off the cliff. Because you might get something going, but you don't have the managing anointing to keep things together. I wonder why we didn't have a whole lot of trouble in this church. You know, I knew I was praying, and I knew I had an anointing. But that apostolic anointing was working. You know, because see, sometimes I was keen and sharp above my understanding. I didn't know what it was. But for years, didn't know what it is. You see, you don't know what something is unless you see it. And I had no example. See, that's why I had to leave. Let me close with this. I had to leave Louisiana. When I started thirsting and getting hungry, I was going around the corner trying to find some nice people, but they all was on the same level. Now, I've had older ministers, elderly ministers, talk to me, and they said to me, Doc, I should have went with you. So I told him, but I just wanted to show him, and the only thing I could do, I know what to get his attention, money. And I told him about a $50,000 offering I got. He said, what? He jumped on the other seat of the car. I said, what? I said, yeah, $50,000 offering. The guy gave me $50,000. And he don't know I had an offering bigger than that. But I just told him that $50,000 way back when I told him that. He said, Doc, I ain't never seen nothing like that. Why? Because he didn't go in a position where God wanted him to be. See. Don't get quiet on me because I told you about that money. That's what you need. You need some money. I'll be sending y'all all spiritual. See, y'all get all spiritual and uptight when I say something about money. Because y'all won't be quiet like y'all holding. Y'all ain't holding, you're broke. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't do that in the school. You got to get your money too. You can't be that anointed living from paycheck to paycheck. There ain't no anointing in that. There's disappointment in that, not anointing. So when I tell you these things, look up. Look alive. Be thankful. Get all quiet and all deep. 4 amen. You're talking about building in the spirit. Everybody say amen. Say somebody money, $50,000. Amen. You can't have it if you don't understand how it happened. I never go after money. Never, never, never in my ministry. Never went after no money. Don't have to go after it. It come after me. Because I'm doing the right thing. It's right. If you feed them spiritual things, they're supposed to supply you with their corner stuff. That's the Bible, man. I got to make this church, I don't know if it's 40 something, I got to make this church do something, some type of appreciation or something. Make them do something. I don't care, just send that dog. I'm going to just let the dog eat some cheese and stuff in there. I'm going to feed the dog, but just somebody. Because I want them to grow. It's missing the opportunity. These boys are stepping in here and just walking all over the church. Just doing it. I know y'all get in on it, but y'all ought to have something yourself. I'm telling you, the show. I'm telling you now, them boys getting it. They're getting it. Y'all just take a ride with them. I got a few members here. They're going to go tell somebody else. I'm telling you, you miss a blessing. See, watch what I say now, Mary. I flat don't need your appreciation. You need to show it. Now, the average preacher would never say that. He wouldn't say it because, you know, he said, well, I'm going to be modest. No, I ain't even modest. I need to say it to the whole mass. So the class, study these points that we're going to go over them next class. And may you go over this class. It's on the internet for them. Can they go over this class? They can't go over this class, can they? Y'all got it made. Me and y'all go to this class free, or you gotta put a $5 in the bucket. To you just turn it on? Let me tell you a secret of my ministry. Let me tell you a secret. Feed the people. Don't always be trying to sell something. See, one thing with my ministry, and I got high supporters in my ministry, support the ministry every day. But see, I preach a sermon in where I was last. Birmingham. Yeah, I need a day. I need to get that. Jesse, listen to me. I need to get that to my partner. Yeah, and Jesse told me it cost $3,000 for me to send it to him. Yeah. free. Because, but they see the people love me because I'm not a money scratcher. Even as much as I teach about money, they know I love them. My partners know I love them. You should know I love you. Because now you might have missed this class because you wasn't here. You're here, but you're not here. But you go and you can listen to it over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, these are not no Burger King hamburgers that y'all get in these classes tonight in my class. This is it. This is the apostolic power. Glory. And you will grow. Ooh, I felt anointing when I said that. You will grow and you will know. And it's going to help your family so much. It's going to help your personal. It's going to help you. All this information, man. Not only information, but inspiration. Not only inspiration, but illumination. Not only illumination, but anointing coming from these guys, man. Come on. These guys are all clean living men. Go on into, you got to keep reading, you see, you got to keep reading. So you got, that's a big book. It is chapter 12. What chapter are we in now? What, 12? Now go ahead and start reading chapter 13. Because I like the concept. You're going to find these three different churches there. And we're going to break it down. We're going to study them one by one and get a good concept. And I think when we get there, we'll get to them three basic concepts. It's going to be real good. And the concept will cause what kind of paradigm we want to know, what kind of belief, what kind of behavior we'll have. And we'll see why the church had been a stagnation in the church, because the church been within the walls enjoying themselves. The church had been trying to grow from the inside. You can't grow from the inside. You got to grow on the inside and go outside and help people. You see what I'm saying? Love people. And we'll learn these concepts. One of y'all may be a pastor. A young man just started being a pastor. He in the right place at the right time. He can learn so much. And all I tell him to do is take your time. Don't try to drive nothing down those people. Love those people. Preach faith. And just love those people. And that church, what I did with Mount Zion was so much in love with me. When the Lord started making changes with me, the majority of the membership knew I loved them. I told them what they were wrong at, and I had to break up a lot of tradition. But I ministered to them, and I was faithful with a few things. And some of these girls with me, Joyce was with me, and some of these girls with me all the way back there. But I ministered to them. And then when I started making some changes, the Lord started making changes, those people went right with me. Now, another minister, I told him, you know, you heard this story before. I told him, he asked me, I was in Tulsa. He asked me what to do. He had got a large Baptist church. He asked me what to do. I said, don't teach about the Holy Ghost right now. Don't talk about no tongue. I said, teach love and faith till you win the deacon. See, your anointing going to win them. Yeah, right. And he heard Fred Price say, Fred said, I just changed. Now, Fred was talking about a process. Yeah. So, you know, Fred was bigger than me, you know. So he went back to the church and told him, well, we're going to do this. And we're going to, and the man said, no, we ain't going to do all that. Your stuff is in the back there. We just had a meeting. Yeah. We decided you're not going to be the man. You don't mess with them guys, man. You got to win those guys. When I first came in Mount Zion, man, I knew they had some guys there, man, some hit men there. I worked with them. I knew that. And then they had the audience. They had the people under their hands, see? So I just preached. I just preached, man. Preached love. Prayed hard. Prayed with the people. Loved the people. Just preach. And I saw a sway was going. They were losing their power. When it got to the point where they were losing their power, I tore the pulpit down. You know that? But a deacon sat back there, and George, you know what I'm talking about, and they run in, and they sitting up there with you. I tore that down and said, so y'all go get seats out there now. Yeah, I did it. I sure did. You got to know what you're doing, though, boy. Then I remember one Sunday I come there, man, I walk up there, two of my major deacons, the two older deacons I had, they were arguing over the Bible. One would open it up, say, the Bible's supposed to be open. The other one would shut it. I don't want to open it back up. So I stepped out there and I showed him my Bible. I said, you know, I don't really need this Bible. Now that's, boy, that's a sacred. That big black Bible sitting up there, if you've never been a Baptist, you don't know it. That's a sacred place. I said, I don't need it no more. I'm going to use my Bible. Man. I just say, you're going to hell. I could say, boy. And then, boy, I got bold. I said, I told Roy and Charles, they're still with me, my brother. I said, take that steeple off. Steeple. Charles, see, he told Roy, I said, he's going out of his mind. He told me, I said, yeah, take it down. Take the steeple down. And that big cross, take it down. And then one Sunday, I come in, I dealt with the funeral home fan. They've been fanning with them fans for centuries. But the Lord told me they were fanning with death. The funeral home man was trying to kill some of them, you see. Every time they see the death. So we got rid of the fan. Now, then the mason sign. You know, in the corner there, you got. I passed by that one morning. Holy Ghost said, chip it out.
Yeah.
And one of my major girls there, one of the oldest deaconess, her father's name was on there.
Yeah. Wow.
But I got it out. Then I said, we don't need no bell. Y'all can't hear no bell. We ain't on plantation. That big old bell, take that bell on. Yeah, we did all that.
Yeah.
Told you about the story. I got to get out of here, man. Told you about the story. I'm in my office, and old Mr. Cass Mackey, you're coming on. They had a supper last night. They were selling beer. selling beer. Now, he want me to hear it, see? He trying to tell on him. He passed him off again. He had a supper last night. Then he called an amen. Henry was selling beer. Henry was the lead. So I come out and say, Brother Mackey, I said, what's up? Well, Pastor, you know, I don't want to get in no trouble. I don't want no business, you know. But they were selling beer. Then he told me to ring leader name. I said, okay, I'll clear it up. Supper. And so at Sunday, I said, all supper's over.
Yes.
I said, we're going to pay our tithe and offering. I said, we don't need to sell no more chicken.
Yes, sir.
And we ain't having no more fish plate. Y'all going to tithe or we're going down.
Yeah.
and they did it. They did it. They moved. But it's just, I went on to them. And so when they came see me, you know, I was a young man at that time, you know. And I was sitting behind my desk and had a young deacon and three older deacons came. They talked to me. So I said to them, gentlemen, they asked me about passing the church. I said, now, gentlemen, I don't run women. I said, I'm married. I said, I live a clean life. I said, if I come to that church, you're going to be a clean church. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. So they got in the car. The young man told me, man, ain't no man got no one woman. Now, they about dead. Yeah, with their crazy stuff. They ain't come to no conclusion yet. And they old, too old to walk. And they're like, and I'm, man. He ain't got no woman. But you see, the devil say had him so much. And so they asked me to go to the convention, Jack. One time some guys asked me, preachers asked me to go to a convention. I got in the car. We was inside of the church. So my back hadn't hit the back of the seat. One of the head men in the car. Young man? I said, yes, sir. You don't want to be humble. You got any girls? See, I'm looking for heaven. I'm looking for Jesus to be all in the car, you know. I said, girls? I said to myself, you know. I said, you know what? I'll be able to drive my own car. I got out of there. Another time, two boys, they're going to the convention over in Shreveport. So I thought we'd get together, you know, and go. I said, man, I'd ride with y'all, or y'all could ride me. Oh, no. We might not go, you know. So I had a brand new Cadillac, Coupe de Ville, white Cadillac. And so I told my wife, Carolyn, one of the children was small, Leroy and Shauna. So we just took them as kids, took them with us. But we're going down the highway, there they are. Them two fellas, we didn't want me to ride with them. They didn't want me to ride with them too straight.
Yeah.
They want to go drink and sneak, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
And they don't want no holy man. It's an H, but it's not a holy. All right, y'all great, y'all clap. God bless. Yeah, I done seen some things, boy.